Welcome, everyone, to another episode of the Dynamic Convergence. I am the 13th Crusader, and with me today, I have Johnny the Machine Hughes, Freddie Nero, and Freya. What's up, everyone?
Hey, hey.
Hey.
Yo, hello. I didn't know I was going to go with there, so I went with that. There you go.
All right. Today's topic, it's a big one, but we'll try our best to get through it today as much as we can. We're going to talk about the multiverse concept in DC Comics. Now, the multiverse concept has been around for a number of decades, and it has been used in various forms or another for big storylines, bringing characters together, and all sorts of events. What a multiverse is, simply put, is multiple universes existing in the same physical space, moving at different vibrational speeds. I'm not a scientist. That's a simple term to say that there are parallel versions of each of us. There's a parallel version of this podcast right now. So on and so forth. Honestly, I think one machine in one universe is enough, but could you imagine multiple machines or an infinite amount?
Well, you've got to question yourself. Is you're the 13th Crusader? What happened to the other 12?
Exactly.
does that make this Earth 13 then?
Perhaps it is. So, in DC Comics, okay, there's two ways to look at this. You could look at it from the publishing standpoint. When was this first introduced? And then you can also look at it from the continuity standpoint. From a publishing standpoint, the multiverse concept was first brought into DC Comics to kind of bridge the Golden Age characters with the Silver Age characters. So one of the most famous comic book stories of The Flash of Two Worlds many, many years ago did that. And once that happened, when you have had the Barry Allen Flash meeting the Jay Garrick Flash, that opened the door for a lot of meetings between worlds, and people started clamoring for the JSA, bringing back more Golden Age characters, so on and so forth, and the rest is history.
So that's kind of like NYCC all over, isn't it? People clamoring for the JSA, not getting an answer. Just saying.
But as far as the historical explanation, the best that I could come up with is really the interference from Krona during the Big Bang. And Krona is one of the Malthusians. The Malthusians are the race of guardians. So many years ago, he decided to poke his nose in something he shouldn't have done. And there you go. And that was the kind of the discovery of the multiverse and all this other stuff. So to kind of wrap this explanation up, there have been multiple versions of the multiverse in DC Comics, if that makes sense.
My head hurts.
Exactly. You had the Crisis on Infinite Earths that turned these multiple worlds into one world. Then you had, you know, Zero Hour, you had Hypertime, Infinite Crisis, Convergence, New 52, and of course now we're living in Rebirth, where Dr. Manhattan kind of altered the timeline and all this sorts of stuff. So yes, it can be very confusing, and even if you get it, there's no way that you walk out of this without a headache. I already have a headache explaining this. So, as such, I'm going to go around the horn and just ask a simple question. Do you guys find this multiverse concept exciting? Do you think it sucks? What are your initial feelings about the multiverse concept? So I'll just go around the horn. Frey, I'm going to start with you. What are your thoughts on the multiverse?
I actually quite enjoy the multiverse just because it opens up a lot of options for different versions of everyone, different storylines that otherwise it would conflict and create plot holes and other issues. So having the multiverse is actually pretty nice for that. And it also lets creators and writers and everyone just make their own, with the characters still having like their basic personalities being the same. They can create their own stories and not worry about people saying, oh, that conflicts with what happened in this issue in this book. So that's why I like the multiverse.
Yeah. I just think it gives some creativity in One thing I feel bad for comic creators is that they're, if you go to the big two, you are trapped in this zoo that you have to follow all these rules and all this history, which is, it's cool for us as the readers because, you know, we kind of know what's going on and where things are going. But then as a creator, I could see that being frustrating at times when you're like, man, I just wish I could, you know, do this. And well, the multiverse makes that possible. They can do that. So I, not speaking on the history of the multiverse, but just as it stands now, I definitely, just like it, just for creativity's sake.
Right. What say you, Machine?
I come from an age of, collecting where Earth 2 was a prominent, part of the DC universe proper. And I remember looking at comic books as a kid and working out, oh, this is the Earth 2 Batman. This is the normal Batman. I'm going to read the normal Batman. The only time I'd ever go across to Earth 2 would be for JSA. I think the multiverse is kind of like the progeny of the imaginary stories that Superman books used to have way back when, which sounds like a bit of a oxymoron considering comic books aren't factual, but Superman comics used to come with a blurb at the beginning saying this is an imaginary story, i.e. it didn't happen within Superman continuity. And I think the multiverse kind of born from that. And then, of course, the crossover with the Golden Age and Silver Age characters helped solidify that. I don't mind the multiverse for its diversity of characters. What I am not fond of is when you see alternative iterations of the characters, then they become their own multiverse. So, for example, there's an Earth where the Dark Knight Returns is canon. Now, that's fine if you like that sort of thing, but why can't you just have it that the Dark Knight Returns is a possible future for Batman and just leave it at that? Why do you have to try and pigeonhole everything? Last year across Convergence, the Injustice World, the multiverse based on the video game, got annihilated. Didn't stop Injustice 2 comic book coming out because of the video game that came out. So does that mean we're going to have Injustice pigeonholed into an Earth? You know what? Alternative stories work because, as Freya said, and Freddie mentioned, it gives the creators a chance for them to try something new on some old, dusty characters. But it doesn't mean you have to create a whole world, you know, because somebody like me is going to come along and say, hey, I've been reading these Batman one-shots, these Dark Knights one, and apparently in every alternative dark universe, there's only two superheroes on each world, Batman, and it just so happens the dude he's supposed to be taking over. You know? So, you know, let's keep it a little bit, you know, I guess structured.
It's funny that you say that because one of the multiverse concepts that I didn't mention yet is the dark multiverse, which is out and about in the Dark Knight's metal. So now we have a dark multiverse with negative numeric designations, just to add to the confusion. So, and one thing I heard a comment a while back, I can't remember who said it, but, you know, within each of these multiverse, some forms of dimensions also have a parallel dimension to it, or it's opposite or the same, whatever. So there's parallel dimensions as well. So now you're talking about something that's definitely a lot more expanded than someone might initially think. I have to agree that the multiverse concept in itself, the scientific explanation for it, I always dug it. I like it a lot, and it's very interesting science. Now, when it's applied to comic books, obviously it's a gimmick, right? Because they used it to bridge Golden Age and Silver Age characters together. How else could they have done that? So to me, I respect that era and why they did it. And where would we be if that never happened? We would not be talking about JSA. These guys would be something that people, oh yeah, those guys existed in the 30s and, you know, or in the 40s. We're not going to, who cares?
Yeah.
But look how significant bringing in the multiverse concept turned out to be. Now, how it's been handled is another ballgame. So, Crisis on Infinite Earths, for example, united all of these Earths with letter designation, numeric designation. There were so many, it was just, you know, it was a free-for-all. Ironically, although the event, I love the event, ironically, I did not like the concept of one Earth, the new Earth. I never have.
Yeah.
You know, and it kind of like merged everything together. And then with that, you have different histories. And so when things got fixed later on with multiple universes, I was okay with that. Even with 52, I think that's fine. I think you can, you know, say more or less, oh, yeah, you know, like if you read Countdown Arena, you can see certain character battles. What is it, the Red Rain Batman and, you know, versus another Batman. All right. That was cool.
Was it really? Though this was the point from Convergence last year. Mm-hmm. You know, you had all these sort of Elseworld characters popping up, right, as if they were like real universes. If these universes were real, how come we've never revisited them since?
And the other thing to add to that is that some of the Earth designations were never really detailed, so you really don't know what kind of characters exist within certain numeric designated Earths. So now with Rebirth, okay, so we have Dr. Manhattan, you know, putting his two cents in and rearranging everything, and then, you know, kind of like making 10 years disappear. So what happened in those 10 years? It's just a crazy concept to think of. So I'm not going to sit here and say that every multiverse iteration that DC has used has been the best. There's no way I could say that. It's how you use it and how often, because now we're talking about multiple multiverses being used throughout DC history.
But I mean, that's the point of the crises, is to mm-hmm. resolve whenever they decide something's not working.
Right.
I mean, so they didn't like the two, they didn't like the infinity, you know, and now we're stuck with 52. Is what it seems to be. So, I mean, it makes a little bit of sense. I mean, as far as, you know, what happened to the old stuff is, you know, they come up with some sort of way to explain the retcon, which mm-hmm. is honestly all I need is an effort to be made. Because, I mean, I understand if you have to retcon, you have to retcon. You don't have to, it's not science, it's a comic book. So if you can make a little bit of sense, I'll buy into the mm-hmm. rest of it.
True. You know, it's just, you know, with recent events and things like that, you know, my concern with the multiverse concept being applied in DC is how often. So when I first started in comic books, just like Johnny, that, you know, it was always Earth 1, Earth 2, and then occasionally you have Earth 3, and then a little bit of Earth S here and there. You know, it was fairly simple. But, you know, after Crisis, you know, you had everything merging into one world. But after that, after the Infinite Crisis and all that stuff onward, it's like it became a little bit too frequent. So now here we go with, you know, you've had, you know, Flashpoint, New 52, and Convergence, and now Rebirth. And what's going to happen after Rebirth? You know, are we going to get a new multiverse concept or structure?
I think the multiverse, when I was a kid, it used to confuse the hell out of me. It really did. You know, one week you could... We'd never got DC Comics as regularly as we get them now in the stores over in the UK. We'd get every now and again. If you got two issues back to back, it was like Christmas for a comic book fan back then. So one week I pick up a Batman book, you know, and it's all fine. And then the next I pick up... A Brave and the Bold book, and his daughter's in it, and you're like, how'd that happen? And then you have to, you know, who's that? And then, oh, but it's Catwoman. Yeah, but the comic I just read had Catwoman as the bad guy. So, you know, it took me a while as a kid to sort of fathom the rules of the multiverse. I always thought that some of the JS characters were cool, and that kind of kept me sane, I guess. But Crisis on Infinite Earths, when it happened, I've got to be honest, I could take it or leave it, because back then, some of those characters just weren't getting used frequently. You know, they just weren't, they weren't around. And I think the best, I actually think Thy Kingdom Come, with Carl L turning up in Shock and Power Girl, is far more resonant than some of Crisis. And I get that The Flash died, and yes, Supergirl died, spoilers. Get that. Nobody cared about Supergirl. You know, it's not like she was Jean Grey,
Comic book was a spoiler just with the cover. So if you went to the newsstands when that book came out, you're like, oh, man, no, I can't open this. No, man.
Oh, you man. Who's died in this one? is it Comet? No, it's not Comet. So for me, but that's because by the time Thy Kingdom Come came round, I should say, the Justice Society had been more established as part of the main DC universe. So whilst it's used, you're saying on one hand you like the idea of lots of different Earths, and you didn't like the single Earth. I think for a large period of time there, I think they managed to force a single Earth continuity, and I think they did it pretty well. You know, I mean, Zero Hour tried to change some things, and Joe Chill wasn't the dude that killed the Batman's parents and stuff. But that eventually got retconned again. So you kind of like, and that's, I guess, one of my other points about the multiverse. It's a kind of a who cares, because it's going to get changed anyway type of scenario.
Right, right. It's funny that you mentioned earlier with Crisis and all that stuff with Batman. And I remember the first exposure I had to the multiverse was Robin, the Earth 2 Robin, dressed up in a bat suit with the weird symbol on his chest. I'm like, what the hell is this? It was like no color coordination or anything. It was like to me, it's one of the most horrible costumes of all time, in my opinion. And then I'm just trying to make sense that, you know, Dick Grayson was Batman and then Bruce Wayne was actually the commissioner of Gotham. So that was very confusing.
What made it worse is when Jason Todd first came around, his costume was very much like the Robin of Earth 2. So right, and, if you weren't up on your stuff, you pick up a book and you'd be like, what is going on right now?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the original Jason Todd debuted before Crisis. He actually had brown hair, and then after Crisis, you know, his hair turned dark and he looked similar to the other Robin. That was super confusing.
Now, I think probably the last time that we kind of dived into the multiverse and comics was probably that little Superman arc. I don't remember what it's called now. Was it Reign of Superman or something stupid? It had some type of play on words from that old story. But anyways, so how do you guys feel about stories like that then? I mean, where it brings together all of these different characters, you know, we have Justice League, Superman and all that.
Oh, I remember that one. Yeah, we talked about that. Was it an annual or something daft like that, was it?
Something like that.
It ran across a couple of issues and stuff. I thought it was awesome. I thought it was an awesome idea, especially for the Superman title, which I don't think has been doing too well overall. But that was definitely one of the more enjoyable arcs, where you have the multiple Supermen teaming up to fight a common villain. I thought it was cool. I wasn't bugged by it.
I've got to be honest, I could take it or leave it.
Mm-hmm. I have a feeling I know what Freya would say about that arc, right, Freya?
You don't want to know what I want to say. more of my least favorite character.
So, Freya, let me ask you a quick question, because you're quite bad, kind of centric, like a lot of us are. Batman Beyond.
Yes.
As a concept, do you prefer it as a possible alternative future of Batman? Mm-hmm. Or do you prefer it as its own Earth, as a multiverse Earth? Or do you not care either way, as long as the story is good?
Honestly, I don't care as long as the story is good. But I always think of it as just a alternate future. So.
And I correct me if I'm wrong. I think it is just an alternate future, because I've been looking at the official DC Comics multiverse map that we got a glimpse of in a Dark Knight's Metal number one. On the website, they actually have that map, and it's like interactive to where you can see all the different Earths and what they're about. As you know, I think it's more official than the Wikipedia one I had been using. But I don't see a lot of those things on there, like Batman Beyond and Dark Knight Returns. It's more of like, hey, the Justice League is all vampires sort of thing. Versus those side stories.
Didn't Terry travel to the past at one point?
Yeah, and then he got killed, and then Tim Drake came back into the future as Batman, and then it got rebirthed, and now it's Terry McGinnis again. So, I'm just going through the map that Freddie's talking about, because I'm sure I saw Terry McGinnis on there.
You might be right. I mean, there's 52 of them. It's kind of
hard. Right, I'm going to start at 52 and work my way backwards. Go! But it's just a kind of, I guess, and I know I'm a geek, and I know I'm a collector, and I know that generically that means that I like to put my comic in a bag on a board and put it in alphabetical order and all that sort of stuff. But I'm not sure I need every different version of every different character catalogued as part of their own little world. If somebody wants to tell me about Another Nail, the story by Alan Davis, yeah, what a great little story that is. Go check out the art, really good. It's really funny because Black Canary goes to Siberia. She puts on her fur coat to keep warm, but she still wears the fishnets. Don't understand what that's going on.
Thermal fishnets.
But then that leads a whole premise. That's a whole world, and that's kind of like a world that can grow. You know, Selina Kyle comes back woman because the other two get killed. But you never see anything done with that world. Unless it comes across like a convergence event, and they're just, oh, well, this is the world where Selina Kyle's Batwoman. Great, we know that one. And you're like, well, if it was that important to you, DC, why do you not work in that? Do you get what I'm saying?
So would like, you prefer like a side book, like Tales of the Multiverse, where we get like an issue or an arc for each Earth that kind of just rotates?
You know what, Fred? That's a great idea. That is an absolute bang-on idea. That way, readers could get introduced to the concept of the multiverse while seeing variants of the heroes. Because we all like our heroes. We like certain ones more than others. And we like certain aspects of those heroes more than we like other aspects. Yeah. Mm-hmm. For example, we know that Mike loves Asbats. Right?
For some reason.
There must be a multiverse Earth out there where Asbats is Batman. And if that was in an anthology book and Mike saw that and it was drawn by Graham Nolan, written by Chuck Dixon, he'd be all over that like fishnets on a canary leg. He would be there.
You're damn right. I'll say this, and I've said this a while ago in another pod, I can't remember which one, but I mentioned that if I think it's Earth 31, the Dark Knight Return universe was a run in itself, so that you can kind of delve into, because let's face it, there are a lot of fans of that universe and a lot of the different character concepts that were introduced. I would be in there all day, you know, so.
I would love a whole, like, I think there should always be a Dark Knight Returns book of that universe, at least.
You say that, but you lot all panned it when the book came out. Hold on, there's 31, I found it.
Hey, I liked it.
Earth 31. Lift anchor and set sail on the seas of Earth 31, a post-apocalyptic world drowned by global warming and tectonic shifts, features two different Supermen.
Yeah, so I think that designation might be before the multiversity then.
Because
I think all this is based on multiversity.
Right, so again, DC can't even keep its own multiverse in order. You know, if you're gonna if you're gonna tell us there's different Earths, don't change it halfway through and tell us, oh yeah, by the way, Earth 31 is now Earth 96 or whatever. And don't tell me that I can't have 96 because you said there was 52 of them. I just made the rules up. I don't care. It's my multiverse. It's a machine.
So I'm going to go around the horn and see. I'm Freya, so I'm going to ask you if you had a choice of something in the multiverse, a character that you like for it to be its own run, what would it be?
Oh. Character I like that I want an own run. Well, that doesn't have one. I don't know if Orphan has her own run. Like, just, I don't know which version, though. Can you come back to me? Let me think on that. I don't know.
I have pros and cons about this. So about this subject in general. So, Freddie, any ideas if you have any? I know you mentioned Dark Knight Returns universe would be a run you would totally go for. Any other ones?
You know, honestly, like after saying it, I would really love just like an ongoing series of different Earths. Honestly, I don't need anyone in particular. Because I was at first going to say the Nazi Superman, where he landed instead of Kansas, he landed in like Nazi occupied whatever. That would be cool. But then how long would that be cool for? So, right. Like an arc, 5-6 issues, that could be cool. And then we can move on to, you know, whatever. The Captain Carrot world. We'll do an arc in Captain Carrot world.
Yeah, for the vegetarians on this all.
I like that idea because that kind of goes with a point that I'll make in a bit. Machine, what are your thoughts? What would you like to see?
I would like to see the DC Universe by Gaslight. Thank you.
Ooh.
Yep. Yeah, I'd buy that.
And for anyone who doesn't know what I'm referring to, I am, of course, referring to Craig P. Russell's and Mike Mignola's standout Elseworld book, Gotham by Gaslight, which is getting its DCU movie later this year.
Right, and before I go back to Freya, so that there's a pro and a con for that, right? Because the pros are that some of these character concepts are awesome for the time it comes out or the purpose that they're created for. Or introduced in whatever event. The con is...
May I interject then?
Yep.
Because that's exactly how I feel about Watchmen currently.
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly how I feel. Watchmen was a book of its time. Trying to go back and do more stuff with it is just beyond bonkers to me. Hmm. It's just bonkers. Carry on. Sorry with you.
I mean, it's a good point because Watchmen is a perfect example of that. However... if you had just one or even two titles dedicated to Tales of the Multiverse, like Freddy was alluding to, I think that's really a good idea. Where you're just getting the character for one, maybe a standalone story or an arc or a small arc or whatever, and you can go across talking about whatever characters you want. So you have the entire DC multiverse character library at your disposal. The problem is, like, if one of them is strong enough that the fans like start demanding more. So let's just say that Dark Knight Returns universe. Oh, it's too good to be in a Tales of the Multiverse book. Now you're adding another title. And then what's going to happen with that? We already have enough titles coming out. So I guess that's the con.
The flip of that con is that there's a lot of books out there that could do with a little bit of a cull going on. And people who listen to the regular show know exactly which books I'm talking about. If they're going to do that sort of thing, these things kind of happen organically. So if you have a book that comes out once a month, 48 pages, Tales of the Multiverse, by the issue 6, you know which multiverses are going to be popular. Mm-hmm. Then DC can start adding it into the schedule and then cutting away some of the chaff. We don't need as many Dark Metals tie-ins and one-shots that we've got at the minute. It's just nuts. I stand up and applaud anybody who's buying all of those books, right? Because there's a shed load of the damn things, all right? And I get it if you really like the story, and I know that I'm not a huge fan. I get that. But that's a lot of money that you're pouring out for one storyline.
Yeah. So, yeah, and talking about metal, so for example, like with Freddy's idea of a one run, like the way that they presenting this in the like the Batman the Dawnbreaker or the Murder Machine or the Red Death, something like that in a multiverse, you know, just a run is perfect because they were each standalone stories and you're getting introduced to a character that is brand new and it's shedding some light on the origin of that character. So I think it would work in a run for anything in the multiverse or dark multiverse or whatever. And you could even introduce new characters. So, so Freya, I'm coming back to you now.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, besides the Dark Knights in the middle, like I would love to see a Red Death run. Just see all the lead up to everything. Instead of just one book. It's kind of awful, but I would love a Leatherwings arc.
You know, I was gonna say, that was the first thing I was gonna say. So I'm glad you said it.
Yeah, it's weird. It's pirates and Batman. So you know, I want to see an arc of that. So.
Would it be rated R? That's bad.
Boo.
You know, we were talking about sign language before. Think of Planka, and that's the sign I'm doing right now.
You know, honestly, I don't know why.
You tried jokes?
I don't know why there hasn't been an attempt to make a run like that. And make it stick. I think it would sell. It really would. You know, there are a lot of cool things that have come out of the multiverse.
Yeah.
And the different interactions. So why not? Like I'm a sucker for Thrill Killer Batman. I love that.
The Suicide Squad one.
The Thrill Killer is an Elseworlds tale with where it was Batgirl and Dick Grayson as a vigilante, and then Bruce Wayne became Batman afterwards in the sequel.
Oh, that's right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and actually, Barbara Gordon became Robin after Dick Grayson died, so she kind of took on his mantle after he died.
Wow.
If I remember correctly. Yeah, so like a concept like that, you know, cool, and you know, like Batman Red Rain, I don't know anybody that doesn't like that. With the vampire. Yeah. So, you know, something like that.
Something I want to bring up, too, here, since I'm looking at the official map, it brings up some things outside of the new 50, I mean, out of the 52 Earths.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, the centerpiece is the Rock of Eternity. Mm-hmm. But on the outside is the Sphere of the Gods, right? So we got New Genesis, we got Apocalypse, we got Heaven and Hell, and Underworld and Skyland, which, as it explains, is basically our gods, like, you know, the gods of the real world, are mm-hmm. an Underworld and Skyland. But there's also Dream and Nightmare, which is all the Sandman stuff. So that's mm-hmm. officially part of the multiverse, is all the Sandman stuff, which I didn't know. I thought that was going to be just, I don't know that, I never knew they brought that into DC, you know, main continuity.
And just to make matters more confusing, where does the Legion of Superheroes lie?
I'm glad we cleared up the multiverse for you. Stay tuned.
Left with more questions than answers.
It's true, because it's just like what you were saying earlier with Batman Beyond, right? It's a possible future or an alternate timeline, or maybe it really is the canon timeline. Who knows? But what about Legion? Like, first of all, those group of heroes, their books have been revamped several times. But what part of the timeline are they? And then also, are they a multiverse in itself? I don't know. So it's very confusing to follow that.
Yeah, for sure.
So when you're talking multiverse and timelines, I don't think it necessarily gels too well. Very, very, very difficult to try to say, oh yeah, that in the future from now it'll be Terry McGinnis will be Batman and Damian Wayne will be Ra's al Ghul or the new Demon's Head or the leader of the League of Assassins.
See, that's a really good point, because the whole that whole Damian Batman thing is just fraught, isn't it? How many times have you seen seeing like Damian as Batman, even if you go back to Future's End and it was all about how Bruce tries to elongate his own life, so there's always going to be a Bruce Wayne. But you know, it's just, man, it just gets so, you know, I don't understand why we have to designate it all. You know, why can't we just turn around and say, you know, I'd appreciate if the multiverse or the multiverse or the multiversity universe or whatever you want to say, it doesn't always have to be a different version of Superman or a different version of Batman or a different version of whatever. Let's have some original characters in there. You know, let's have like the Milestone universe. Is that in there somewhere? You know, let's have some original.
They are bringing about, or they're calling it Earth M, which is a whole other question now. Because at New York Comic Con, they announced Earth M book coming out for all the Milestone characters. I don't know where that's supposed to fit in.
So there you go. So, you know, those Milestone characters, Static is huge. Everyone loves it, Static. And you kind of think to yourself, well, you know, those books were really, really good. You know, Icon was Superman, and you had Hardware, which was like the techno dude, and it was just, there were just some good fun books, and there were some really good creators on there. And you kind of think, if that's part of the multiverse moving forward, you would have thought with all the different sort of crises that have happened since they stopped to where they are now, they would have appeared in more issues than like the two issues of the Dwayne McDuffie Justice League book. Way back when, that was around what, 2004, something crazy like that. So, you know, it just beggars belief.
Yeah, I mean, if you think of the multiverse concept, you know, it's a good gimmick, as I mentioned earlier, to bring in different universes if that's how they're introducing it, and gelling it with regular continuity. I mean, they did this with Fawcett, they did it with Charlton Comics, you know, and now you get the Watchmen interacting with, you know, regular DC characters coming soon.
That's ironic considering the Watchmen characters are based on Charlton characters.
Correct. Yeah, Rorschach and Question, now that, you know, two separate entities. But I mean, none of that could have happened without the multiverse concept, I would guess, right?
Mm.
So I appreciate it for that, you know.
Let's ask Alan Moore. If we could ask Alan Moore. Alan Moore, when you created The Watchmen, was it part of DC Multiverse, or was it a standalone story that had nothing to do with DC at all, and they were just the company that published it? I know which one he'd say it is.
Yeah, what's going to confuse the hell out of me is the time of the Watchmen story when it took place, right? Because their history starts in the Golden Age of Heroes. But then, you know, you're talking about the era of when Nixon was president. And then, you know, Rorschach died in the 80s, right? Like, was it 1984?
Yeah.
So, how's that going to work now? in relation to, like, Batman's history. I wasn't alive in 1984. Are you kidding me? I'm 21.
And that's kind of the problem with some... And that's, I guess, why they do the idea of a multiverse book, is so they can get away from things like that. There's always going to be somebody who says, oh, by the way, how old was Bruce Wayne when his parents died? Because I won't work out how old he is now, because he's been away for 8 years and da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. You know, and if you look at Gotham versus Batman Begins, that's a different version of the history. And I know that's not a multiverse show, but it's kind of how it works, isn't it? That's how comic books work, is that perpetually Batman's always going to be between 28 and 36. That's kind of his age range, isn't it?
Yeah.
So
perpetually, he's always that. And he just got healed, you know, towards the end of the New 52. So, I mean, now he's got the body of like a 27-year-old again.
Yeah, and if we ever see Kal-El again, will he have white hair still, or will he be younger? You know, who knows? Character progression with different timelines and multiverses can be confusing as well. So I'm going to go around the horn here for just the final thoughts on multiverse. And, you know, just to gauge, you know, I think we've hit pretty much all of the things we wanted to say. But I'll go around for some final thoughts and what you hope to see with the multiverse concept being applied in comics. So, Freddie, I'll start with you. What do you hope, as from a publishing standpoint, that... Are you afraid of the direction Rebirth is going in, et cetera, those type of things?
Well, that was a whole different question than I was ready for. I was ready for a multiverse question. You know what? I've been doing a lot of back issue reading, trying to catch up on all the Rebirth stuff that I've been missing out on. So I've like caught up on like Blue Beetle and Green Arrow and a lot of the other books that I didn't care for originally. And I honestly, they seem to all be getting better for the most part. Blue Beetle, the first arc was terrible, but the next two arcs are like, oh man, this took a crazy turn. I had no idea any of this was going to be coming. You just got to get through that first dumb arc on some of these books. But yeah, I don't know. I just kind of think I'm not worried right now. I mean, I'm on board. We'll see what happens. I'm still a little confused as to why we've had zero events for 18 months and now we're getting two. They're going to happen side by side. That kind of sucks with Metals and the Watchmen stuff. However, as far as the multiverse goes, at least we don't have hundreds like someone else does. You know, we're stuck in Earth 1 or Earth Prime, whatever you want to call it, versus, you know,
right.
in the hundreds. But yeah, I think it's easier in that regard. And maybe Johnny's right. Maybe we don't need designations. But we don't go there enough to, I think, warrant, for now at least, we don't go to the multiverse enough to where those designations get in the way of things. They're just there for the when we touch on them every few years sort of thing.
Right. Freya, what are your thoughts? Any concerns with the multiverse going forward, or you hope doesn't happen? What do you think?
No, I don't really have any concerns. I like where it's going at this point. The only real issue I had with the multiverse and then this new dark multiverse is, shouldn't the multiverse where everyone's villains be considered part of the dark multiverse because they're evil? But, you know, never mind. I just don't understand that whole thing. Like, because they said that the new Batmans are his fears and they destroy the worlds, and if everyone's evil, shouldn't that kind of count? But other than that, no, I like where they're going. So
I hear what you're saying on that, because you're right. It's like the worst fear is realized, and I guess the metal diaper of the Dawnbreaker is one of them. Now we know. Johnny, what are your thoughts and concerns with multiverse concept in the future?
I just hope the multiverse concept doesn't end up being a table resetter. I hope it's not a magic button where people can just press because they didn't like the way a certain arc was going or a certain storyline. So it's like, oh, look, you know, I guess the one most recently is the whole, was it called Super Heavy in Endgame in Batman when Commissioner Gordon became Bat Robot for a while and so on? Yeah. That story, as fun as it is at the start, gets tired real quick, and Rebirth just resets the button practically, you know, and that last issue of that run is just all about how we're putting Bruce Wayne, pigeonholing him back into the bat suit. And that kind of makes you think, well, actually, not me, but there will be some fans who got totally invested in the whole Jim Gordon as Batman, the same way you got invested as Asbats being the new Batman. As Frey and I both have said in the past, how much we like Dick Grayson and Damian as Batman and Robin.
Right.
You know, so to then reset it and just pull out the, hey, don't worry, guys, it's just the multiverse, you think, well, actually, I've just spent, like, shed loads of money following this, so thanks. It's kind of my concern with the multiverse.
No, but it's true.
Yeah,
I mean, are we going to see Night Owl one day hanging out with Batman in Gotham so he could tell him, there's already one of me here. We don't need you. You know, what's going to happen? You know what I mean? Or Rorschach, will he team up with the Question? He'll be like, we don't need you. How's that going to work? You know what I'm saying? So,
I want to see Rorschach and Batman. That's the team up I want to see.
Yeah, I think it'll work. You know, but it's just like, how will they gel with other characters? You know what I mean? And again, that whole thing of the history, the background of the Watchmen, you know, some of them are linked to the Golden Age, like Night Owl, his predecessor was linked to the Golden Age. So how are they going to write that in if the DC Golden Age is JSA? Where were they? So, you know, that's where my concern is. And I agree with Johnny 1,000,000% here that, you know, a lot of these things are based on sales, right? So if the sales start tanking a little bit, or they start, you know, slipping to a point where it's not cool, will they hit the reset button and use the multiverse concept as yet another fail-safe plan to reboot continuity or what have you?
Well, they haven't done it with Birds of Prey yet, so...
Yeah, maybe we're right from maybe a different with Earth. Maybe it's not...
maybe with you.
All right, so that'll wrap it up for our first segment of this podcast. We're going to go over to our verses section. We're going to do that right now. All right, everyone. You've reached that segment of our podcast where we're going to talk about three potential battles between DC characters. And hopefully you will agree with some of the opinions that we're coming up with. So today's first battle, I'm going to try to keep it as much multiverse related as I can.
Oh, so I'm going to present.
Yeah.
Captain Carrot versus the Herbivore.
No, although I will take that suggestion for another podcast. Captain Carrot will find his way on this podcast at some point or another, that I promise you. All right, so the first match is going to be, we've seen this character as recent as the Justice League versus Suicide Squad. So I'm going to talk about Johnny Sorrow. So what would happen if he faced off with another character who's had his hands or has been involved with the multiverse at some capacity or another? What would happen if Johnny Sorrow faced off, literally, against the Psycho Pirate? So, Freddie, I'm going to start with you on this one. Who do you think wins this one?
I'm sorry. Despite how important they made him seem in the recent books, mm-hmm. I can't say Psycho Pirate. To me, he was always like kind of a B-rate villain. I got to go with Johnny Sorrow on this one.
Interesting. Freya, what say you?
I'm going to have to agree. I'm going to go with Johnny Sorrow. His powers are just more he has more powers, and they're just better than Psycho Pirate. So I'm going to go with him.
And he's better dressed, I would assume, right? Because he wears the suit.
Yeah, definitely.
All right, Johnny.
Well, going with? Surprisingly, I will also go with Johnny Sorrow because his name's Johnny, and that's a really cool name. Thank you.
If I had a doll, I already knew you were going to say that.
Well, honestly, don't ask me a stupid question like that. Of course I'm going to go with Johnny Sorrow. Of course. Without a shadow of a doubt.
If I had put Johnny Sorrow versus Johnny Quick, who would you have picked?
Ooh, that's a good one.
There you go, a bonus versus.
Sorrow still.
There you go. All right, so now I know it's a genuine answer. Yeah, all right.
Yeah. I think no matter how fast you'd run, you'd still be haunted by what was under the mask.
True.
So you can't. Looking at it. You can never run away from your fears. Ooh, that's a tagline for something. Let me write that down. Copyright.
All right, so let's move on to the next battle. So, this character was introduced many years ago when DC really started digging into multiple Earths. And throughout the years, he's really been revamped to a point where, you know, he's definitely no pushover. So I'm talking about Owlman. Now, what would happen if his opponent, who has been referred to as the DC's Doctor Doom in Lord Havoc, what would happen if these two guys faced off? So we'll keep the same order. So, Freddie, I'm going to start with you.
I'm sorry. It was Lord Havoc versus who?
Owlman.
Ooh. You know, I mean, since Owlman is basically Batman, I have to say Owlman because Batman always wins. So.
That is an acceptable answer. All right, Freya, who do you have in this match?
I'm going to have to go with Owlman because, like Freddie said, he's essentially Batman. So,
all right. Yeah.
Hey, I'm cool with that answer.
Why do you like Owlman? Because he's Batman. All right. Batman. is it unanimous, Machine?
No.
Oh.
I will float the idea that Lord Havoc is better than Owlman because Owlman isn't Batman because Batman keeps beating Owlman. So psh, there you go. Go figure.
But Batman beats everyone, so.
No, not necessarily. Darkseid beat him. Sent him to God knows where for God knows how long. You know.
Yeah, he couldn't even beat him. He had to send him somewhere.
Well, okay, well. Barbatos, or whatever his name is, seems to be doing a good job kicking his ass.
Fair enough. For now.
I am Lord Darkseid. My Omega Beams are omnipotent, except when it applies to Batman.
Yeah, I can hit Superman from like 23 light years with my Omega Beam, and yet Batman can move out the way. I mean,
but Batman's fine. I'm not saying it makes sense. I'm just saying these are the rules.
I'm also a Dolphins fan. I have no preconception that we're going to have a winning season this year, and I'm a Dolphins fan, like hardcore. So if I understand that, then sooner or later, Batman's going to get beat. It is just a fact. So.
And for your listeners out there, Lord Havoc made his way into the Justice League of America titles issues, the first arc, actually.
And Vixen kicked his ass, not Batman. So there.
Yeah. Yeah, Lord Havoc, again, when he was originally created and introduced, he was the counterpart mimicking Dr. Doom. He's DC's Dr. Doom. Forget what Earth designation he's from. I think it's, I don't know what it is. I'm not even going to try to guess. But all right. So our final battle for today. Let's see what you guys say. We were just talking about him, so I'll just say his name, Darkseid. What would happen if he were facing off against Black Adam? Who would win? Freddie, start with you again.
Darkseid versus Black Adam.
So if Darkseid can't beat Batman, can he beat Black Adam?
Dang, that's a really good matchup. I'm gonna have to say Darkseid. Darkseid's a beast. As great as Black Adam is, I mean, Black Adam can only barely control his little dirty country. Darkseid rocks a whole planet and scares every other planet out there. And isn't even scared of the Green Lantern Corps. So, I gotta go with Darkseid.
Interesting. Freya?
I'm actually gonna go with Black Adam on this one.
Oh.
How come?
Because, I don't know. I like his, because he has the powers of the Egyptian gods, and there's a lot of them. I think one of them is immortality.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I'm going to go with him.
Yep. Black Adam has a host of powers. Immortality is just one of them. And yes, he calls upon the powers of several Egyptian gods and all this other stuff. So, all right, Machine, you're the tiebreaker. Who do you have?
Who do I agree with? who's hosting the next Jeopardy? Just so I know.
I don't think either of us.
I think it's 13, yeah.
Oh, bollocks. Damn it. In that case, I'm going to have to go with Darkseid.
Darkseid. Okay.
Yeah. Because he's a new god. I think Black Adam It's kind of like saying who'd win Darkseid and Captain Marvel or Shazam, depending on which trademark you're reading right now at the time. So I would always go Darkseid in that one. So therefore, by definition, it's going to have to be Darkseid over Black Adam, which is just basically Captain Marvel, but the bad guy version.
Interesting. Honestly, if I had to choose in this battle here, I would pick Black Adam, so I agree with Freya. The guy has just too many powers for Darkseid to deal with. Darkseid is formidable, don't get me wrong, and he's one of my favorite characters, but I think, one, I would love to see this battle in the book. and two, I just think that it's just too wide of a power set for Darkseid to deal with.
Do you actually have a say in this contest?
No, I'm just stating my opinion.
Good call.
Darkseid for the win.
Yeah, so just a quick recap. Johnny Sorrow versus the Psycho Pirate. You guys went with Johnny Sorrow. Owlman versus Lord Havoc. Owlman came out the victor.
Boom.
Black Adam versus Darkseid. It was Darkseid.
Hooray!
All right. So that'll wrap it up for this episode of the Dynamic Convergence. I am the 13th Crusader, and I will see you next time.
Later.
Bye.